What a glorious way to begin our worship together this morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's stand together for our call to worship this morning. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Tell of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Together, let us worship our God. Standing as you are able, as we lift our hearts and our voices in worship this morning.
People, come together, strangers, neighbors, our blood is one.
Children, generations of every nation of kingdom come.
And don't let your heart be troubled. Hold your head up high and fear no evil. Fix your eyes on this one truth. God is madly in love. So take courage, hold on, be strong. Remember where help comes from. It's Jesus, our redemption, our salvation is in His blood. Jesus, light of heaven, friend. Yeah.
Lord. We praise you, God. Yes, sir. Well, welcome to Grace of Christ. We've got our youth team going this morning, which is awesome because it's Giselle's last day with us. So we're grateful that she's with us and she gets to praise. It's also Chris's birthday, so we got some awesome stuff happening here too. But we're ready to praise. We're ready to worship. Let's have a good time. Father God, we thank you so much for this day, for this time that we have to come to praise, to worship you, to give you all that we've got, Lord. Be glorified in everything that we say and everything that we do. Amen. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one.
People said amen. Oh, and all the people said.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You are worthy, God. God, we love you. God, just bless this service. Amen. Amen. Let's take a minute. Let's get around and greet each other this morning.
All the people said it. Said. And all the people said. Amen. Oh my gosh. You know, the one thing Nathan did not tell you is that his son, hidden back here in the drum set, tried out for American Idol last week. So, quite an experience. Didn't make it through, but oh my gosh, what an opportunity. And we're going to keep praying that he keeps going back there, because wouldn't that be awesome to have somebody on American Idol from this church? That would be so cool. Maybe I should try out. Our God is so big. So some of you last week at 11 o'clock know what I'm talking about. You know, this... what you're experiencing this moment, this day, this morning, I'm cleaning up around here, by the way, just a second. What a blessing. This does not happen in a lot of churches. To bring together, you know, folks who appreciate and value and love the traditional kind of legacy service, together with those who appreciate and value and enjoy the more contemporary. But has anybody ever sung, "They Will Know We Are Christians" in a much cooler way than that way you just did? That was awesome with the Spanish and, oh my gosh. So this is for me a blessing and a joy, because I only have to preach once and, but I get all my favorite people together in one place. I know I said 11 o'clock is my favorite, but it's like the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We have 9 o'clock, we have 11 o'clock, and we have Gracia de Cristo, all under the same roof. Can we give thanks to God for that, for the unity that we are there? That is awesome. Oh, this battery keeps falling out. Go ahead and throw up our four E's. So in this month, we've been looking at, you know, what it means to be an E4 Christian, what it means to be an E4 church. We talked about encountering Christ, and that's an ongoing thing. We encounter Him in our salvation, but every moment of every day we are encountering Christ and helping others to encounter Him as well. We talked last week about what it means to exalt God in our worship, in our praise, our thanksgiving, that He is the King above all kings and the God above all gods. Today we're going to look at what it means to excel into spiritual maturity, but specifically for this morning, what it means to excel in grace. You know, we're coming out of that center part there that, you know, our vision is to love well through drops of grace. And so if we want to grow and mature and we want to together, you know, develop into the fullness of Christ as a church, then we need to then learn how to excel in grace as well. And so this morning's text for us is found, is a very familiar, popular passage. I trust God will bring some fresh manna to us this morning. But in Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 42, this is the believers, the new church coming together. Some would call this the birth of the church with Pentecost just happening. But really, it's the birth of the Holy Spirit-filled church, because God's people have been around forever. And now they're coming together as this Holy Spirit commodity called the church. And it says in verse 42, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Let's pray. Almighty God, again, I am just humbled by the fact that this is your church, that you established your people for generations, and that you built your church upon the solid foundation of your Son, Jesus Christ, and she still stands. She wobbles, and she limps along, and she gets weary and tired. But as we saw last week, Lord, we know that the gates of hell will not prevail. So we are thankful that we are here today as Grace of Christ, just one portion of your church worldwide. And so continue to speak to us, draw us closer to yourself, to one another, that together we would continue to grow and to become the fullness of Jesus Christ to one another, but also to those who are without Christ and without hope. For we praise you and give you glory in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Debbie and I, this past week, celebrated 33 years of marriage. Oh, did I say 33? Did I say 33? Yeah, 36. Yeah, that's even more impressive, huh? 36. Where did 33 come from? 36 years. And it has been nothing but bliss and joy the whole time. My wife is in Arizona, and she'll watch this later. No, it's not been joy and bliss the whole time. You know that phrase, the honeymoon is over? Yeah, that happened about 1 week into our marriage. Because that's when the literal honeymoon ended, and we got back to real life. But I don't believe the honeymoon is ever over. It just goes through some tough seasons. And I know that you can agree with me in marriage and in family and all kinds of relationships. You know, at the beginning, there's a lot of joy. There's a lot of happiness. There's a lot of being together and encouraging one another and loving each other. But there are seasons that come along that just weigh us down, that burden us. That, you know, it's as if another wave continues to come and attack us. But by the grace of God, by the grace of God only, are Debbie and I able to say, "I do," every day and every moment of every day, even if it's maybe a little like this, "I do." By the grace of God, I do. It's an ongoing commitment. It's an ongoing devotion. It's a lot like what we just read about with the early Christians. They were like newlyweds. They were devoted to God. They were devoted to one another. There was nothing but happiness and joy and bliss. In fact, people were in awe of what was going on in the church, and they were seeing signs and miracles being done by the apostles, and they were having fellowship and breaking bread in their homes. They couldn't stand to be apart from one another. They were in the temple in the morning and then each other's homes in the afternoon every single day. You know, at the beginning of a marriage, that's kind of what it's like. I can't wait to be with you when I get home from work. I can't wait for the weekend that we're together. I hate being apart from you. And that's kind of the sense I get from these disciples. And then, as we even saw in our text today, God added and grew. They went from a band of about 20. And then all of a sudden, in Acts chapter 4, it says they grew to about 5,000. That's not counting men and women. And we don't know how quickly that happened, but it was rapid church growth. It was church growth on steroids, going from 20 to 5,000. And the honeymoon didn't last very long. All of a sudden, you get that many people together, and you've got a lot of needs, you've got a lot of expectations, you're going to rub shoulders with each other, you're going to do something wrong, there's going to be mistakes that are made. And all you have to do is read about it in Paul's letters to the early church. There were divisions in the churches. There were immoral behaviors that were going on. There were folks getting away with things that nobody dared even talk about and bring discipline to. There were people who were complaining because my needs aren't being met. And so they created a whole group over here, the beginning of our deacons, in order to take care of the widows. So the honeymoon didn't last long. But here we are today, over 2,000 years later. You see, the church has weathered a lot of storms. And as I said last week, Christ will build his church in the gates of hell. Even the storms that we are going through today in our country will not tear us down. The waves may batter against us, but we have built this church and our lives upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Amen? It's his church, remember, not ours. We are God's people being used for his purpose and his glory. And there are a lot of things that we can learn from the early church for ourselves as we look at excelling in grace, because grace, drops of grace, showers of grace are needed for the church to thrive and to survive in the storms. And there are some things that I believe we can also learn from, that we can excel in grace, we can excel in spiritual maturity, so that 2,000 years from now, generations upon generations will still be here worshiping the one true living God. So the first one is this, is that we will excel in grace as we devote ourselves to the right things. You know, there are a lot of good things that churches can do, but there are some things that we need to constantly be committed to. And when the going gets tough, when the storms come, we need to get back to the basics, and we need to devote ourselves to the right things. Look at verse 42. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. First of all, that word devoted means that they were committed to. They were renewing their commitment over and over again. You see, the honeymoon may be over, but God continues to renew our commitment, continues to renew our devotion to God, to the church, and to one another. We need to be devoted to those things. And they were, first of all, devoted to the apostles' teachings. You see, those who are now a part of the early church that are doing the teaching are those who actually sat at the feet of Jesus and are now teaching what Jesus taught them. And I'm sure, no doubt, they are talking about their history, their ancestors, the Israelites, all the ups and downs. But I would guarantee you that they're talking about what they heard from Jesus, what they saw while he was here on earth. They're talking about his death, his resurrection, the ascension, and now the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, they are teaching the crowds, the 5,000 that grew, that became this church, they have been hearing the good news about Jesus Christ. No wonder there was an increase. No wonder God added to their numbers daily. Because those who were paying attention, those who were watching on the outside, were receiving the good news of the gospel. So they devoted themselves to teaching, the apostles' teaching. Those early Christians were not just going to the temple, however. It says they also went home. And I can imagine they sat around the table talking about what somebody just read that passage of Isaiah. You see, you're not going to get everything you need to grow as a Christian on Sunday mornings. You'll get some crumbs, but the full manna means that you also have to be devoted and committed to God's teaching in your life. You need to spend time in the Word by yourself and not just rely upon what you get on Sunday mornings, because that's going to go stale. You need to take advantage of Bible study groups that are around here. We've got BSF for men and women who are now meeting in this church facility. We have Wednesday mornings, Wednesday evenings where the women get together. We have men gathering on Tuesdays. I'm probably missing some. There are opportunities for you to continue devoting and recommitting yourself to the listening, the hearing, the teaching of God's Word. But I am convinced, and we're talking about that this greatly this morning, is that spiritual growth, spiritual maturity is going to take place not just from receiving teaching and gaining biblical knowledge. It's going to be in relationship with one another. And that's why we're so focused on life groups. We're calling growth groups, we're calling them life groups. Because it's about doing life together. And that, I believe, is where we will find the greatest time of growth. As well as the greatest time of challenge. Because when we do life together, it's going to get messy. And it's going to get difficult. And it's going to be painful. We're going to walk with one another in seasons of life. That really you cannot do alone. And you need those who are around you, who are supporting you, who are praying for you. And so that brings us to our second point here, is that we will excel in grace as we devote ourselves to the right relationships. The early Christians were devoted to fellowship. And you probably already know yourself, the word fellowship used here in many other places is the Greek word koinonia. And we often talk about having koinonia as though it's just a time for us to hang out together, have a social hour, break bread together. But the word koinonia is much deeper than that. Koinonia, the devotion to one another, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, the prayers that are being offered together. Koinonia means sacrifice. It means giving up your time. Giving up your energy to be together with one another. It means, as we saw in our text this morning, maybe selling your possessions when you hear about somebody who's in need. So it's sacrificial. It's commitment to one another. It's taking every opportunity we have to carry each other's burdens. So it's not just hanging out. It's not just getting cookies and coffee in the garden room after church on Sundays, but it's contributing into the lives of one another. That, I believe, is how we're going to grow the most into spiritual maturity. You see, some of our greatest teaching, learning moments are not going to take place on Sunday mornings or in a Bible study. They're going to take place as we do life together, as we walk together and experience what we all go through day in and day out, season upon season. And so as they devoted themselves to all these relationships and were committed to one another, something else was going on. I believe there are also relationships that you and I need to be committed to, devoted to, who are outside these walls. You see, when the early church was getting together and there was this praising of God and there were these generous hearts and people were loving one another and praying for each other, there were a lot of looky-loos. There were people wondering, what is going on over at that house? Why are all these people going to the temple on the Sabbath? What is it that they have that seems to be filled with joy and thanksgiving? I want whatever it is they have. And so the Lord added to their numbers daily. It was contagious. I believe as we devote ourselves to God first, to this church and to one another, there will be folks who will want what we have. And so in our life groups, the leaders have already been instructed that somewhere throughout the year, doesn't matter, once a quarter, once a month, however you want to do it, but we want you to plan koinonia. We want you to plan an event that is out of the house perhaps and go do something that is different and then invite your friends and family and neighbors to be a part of it. Because as they see you devoted to one another, enjoying each other's company, giving thanks to God for everything, then perhaps you'll see even your life group grow. Because they want to be a part of what you're doing on a regular basis. So committing ourselves, being devoted to the right things, the teaching of God's Word, the fellowship, the right relationships. But it also means that if we're going to excel in grace and grow into spiritual maturity, we need to have the right attitudes. We need to devote ourselves to the right attitudes. The test of the New Testament church, the early church, is not just doing the right things and developing the right relationships, but did you notice there's a difference about their heart? It was filled with joy. They were praising God. They didn't consider it a burden to sell what they had to give to somebody else. It said they joyfully, generously gave to one another. There was an attitude that was probably more contagious than the fact that they were doing certain things or having certain relationships, but there was an attitude, a heart that was being expressed and felt. Look at verse 45 and 46. It says, they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need, and day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. So from our text this morning, and I'm going to end with this. It's going to be a brief one because then I'm going to have you do something. There are three things that I think that they were devoted to that helped them experience the right attitudes, but also to fan into flame the right attitudes of joy and praise and thanksgiving. The first is that they were devoted to breaking bread together. And commentators, scholars would say when they talk about breaking bread, they're actually experiencing communion. They're participating together in the Lord's Supper. When we, on particular Sundays, come together as a church and we partake in communion together, we don't do it just simply because, well, that's the way we've always done it. We don't do it because it's our tradition or that we feel like we have to do communion. It's not just taking some bread and drinking juice. I believe that as we take communion together, it keeps our heart in the right place with the right attitude, a humility, a thanksgiving before God, knowing that as we come and take of the elements, that we are confessing our sins, recognizing who we are in relationship to God and what we have done to strain that relationship. And so as we come together for communion, we have to examine our hearts, not only in terms of our relationship with God, but in terms of our relationship with one another. So communion is very powerful. It's a very holy moment because it does allow the Holy Spirit to humble us and to keep our hearts in the right place, to make certain that we are at peace with God and with one another. Second, the early Christians were devoted to prayer. I don't know what your prayer life is, but if you try to go from Sunday to Sunday without having your own personal time of prayer, a time of worship with God, a time of listening to God in silence, you will grow weary in your journey. And so prayer is another one of those disciplines, those devotions that God uses not just for us to get our way, not for us just to tell God what we need or how to fix our life, but a way for our hearts to be broken, to be soft, so that we can come before Him with thanksgiving and gladness. So prayer is vital and important. And this church provides so many opportunities. After church on Sunday mornings, we have prayer ministers available to you. We have the prayer room that's available. We have Tuesday nights once a month, a service of healing that you can go to. And I pray that you take advantage of that. It's just an opportunity to let others pray for you when you don't know how to pray for yourself. We have sozo prayer. We have men's prayer. We have women's prayer. It's everywhere. So take advantage, take opportunity of that, because I believe that that in and of itself will help our hearts to stay pure before God. And then finally, the early Christians were devoted to giving. Generously, selling their possessions. If somebody was in need, it didn't matter what it took. They wanted to make certain that they were provided for, that they were cared for. So I'm going to ask you all now to reach into your pockets and pull out all your change. No, I'm kidding. Somebody's like, yes, go for it. But generosity doesn't come naturally. Giving doesn't come naturally. It's not just about our tithes and our offerings. It's about how we are in tune with God and the Holy Spirit and are able to give when a moment arises. Without any question, without any doubt. And I've seen that happen time and time again in this church. We are a giving church. We are a generous church. And I believe giving, whether it's our tithes and our offerings, it just kind of helps us let loose of everything. It puts things in perspective. It helps us to not be pursuing the things of earth, but pursuing the things of heaven, of God. And that in itself will keep our heart lined up and in the right place. So that's what we learned from the early church this morning. But it's something I want us to learn here at Grace of Christ. That I want us to be devoted, not just to God and the church, but to one another. Some of you are already in a life group. Some groups are full. They can't take anymore because it gets too messy when you get too many people involved. But we have some groups that are starting. We have groups that are open that would love for you to be a part of that group. So right now, I want you to pull out the insert that talks about life groups. Because we're going to take sign-ups today and next week and the week after, but life groups are going to hit the ground running this week. And we don't want you to miss out. We want you to be a part of it. If you're in a group already, you can put your name and tell us which group you're in. And that way the leader knows that you're renewing. You're saying, I do, once again, to them, making that commitment. On the one side, you'll see all the various leaders of the groups that are back there. What time they meet, where they meet, who the leaders are, so you can kind of put a face to a name and know who it is you're going to be having koinonia with. There are couples groups, there are men's groups, there are women's groups. There's a place for everybody. But I want you right now to take it out, and I want you to put your name on the form. Yes, we're actually doing this right now. You're going to put your email address, and you're going to put your phone number. You're not committing to anything right now. But in a sense, you're recommitting your vow to one another. You're rededicating your life. You're saying, you know, I love what's going on at this church, and I would love to be more involved and be devoted to the right relationships. You don't have to play music right now. That's all right. Thank you. But you can mark on there, if there's a group that you see that's open that you want to be a part of, you can check next to that and we'll contact you. We'll get the leaders hooked up to you. But also, there's places where you say, I'm interested in life groups, but I don't see a group that works for me. And so we got to figure that out. And maybe there's a new group that we need to get started. I may be interested in leading a life group. We want everybody in a life group, but we need leaders. And we'll train you, we'll help you, we'll make certain that you know how life groups work and go. Maybe you've been in a life group for, you know, 100 years, and you're thinking, I'm ready to meet some new people, and you want to leave that group and lead another group. You can fill that out and say, I want to lead a group. I want to branch out on my own. Or put down, I may be interested in helping as a host a prayer monitor. These are roles and positions in the life group. A prayer monitor is somebody that reminds people how to pray for one another as you're sharing in your life group what your prayers are. The prayer monitor will just email and say, hey, keep praying for so-and-so, or update you on that. Or a social or care facilitator, somebody says, hey, I'm going to get on the calendar that event for us to do so that we can invite friends and family and neighbors to it, so that'll be my role. If you're interested in being that in your small group, you can mark that on there as well. So fill that out, and I understand they're not going to be collected until the announcements are being given, but here's what I want you to do. Fill it out now during the next song, and then pass the forms to the middle of the pew, and our Lindas, Sorensen and Matthews, are going to pick those up while the announcements are being given. Capiche? Make sense? All right. Any questions? Any complaints? Just email me. That's how I get them. All right. So fill them out, pass them to the middle, and let me pray for us. Father God, from the beginning, it was all about relationship. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit there at the beginning of creation together working. And then you created man and woman to be in relationship. And you created your church so that we could grow in our relationships. And Lord, even today reminds me of how the church functions, Lord. Each part doing their work. Lord, whether it's playing an instrument, whether it's singing in a choir, it's being an usher, it's taking care of things down at the picnic so that we can have fellowship together later. Lord, it's everybody contributing and being a part of this. And Lord, my prayer is to see us continually doing that. That we would continue to draw closer to you and to one another. That we would pour ourselves into the lives of those that you bring into our area, into our realm, into our life, into our season, Lord. And that we would pay attention to those people. That we could invest into them as they invest into us. That we could care for them as they care for us. That we could pray for them as they pray for us. That we would build each other up, encourage one another, spur one another on to love and good deeds. So Lord, I pray that whatever it is this morning that you're calling each individual to be devoted to, Lord, I pray that they would now step out and take that risk and be expecting you to do a new thing. For I pray that in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and give you all the glory. Amen.
Good morning. Please take a seat. Well, welcome. Bienvenidos. Did I do that, Anna? All right. So we're so glad to be together this morning. And don't you think it's just a bit of a glimpse of heaven, a bit of a glimpse of eternity, all God's children together worshiping different styles. And can't you just picture him, our Father on the throne, leaning in to receive all the praise and glory that we're lifting up this morning. If you are a visitor, a guest, we hope that what you're experiencing is to know how much we love God, how much we enjoy our fellowship with each other. We're so glad you're here. And we hope that you join us afterwards for the party that we're going to have out on the side lawn. And it's not going to rain. So in your bulletin, there is one more piece of paper that I'd like you to take out, and that's the Connect card. And please fill that out, and then when the offering plate comes by later, if you drop that in, we really do appreciate knowing that you were here and hearing from you. Any questions you might have, praises, prayer requests, thanksgiving, we love to respond to them. So please do that. One announcement upcoming is the Sunfair Parade, and that's next Saturday. Can you believe the fair's here? It's kicking off. And always, not always, but for a long time, we've had a tradition of being good neighbors to the people who come out to the parade and offering food and drinks and just being friendly. And Monty Miller is heading that up for us this year, and she would love it if you're interested in helping next Saturday to put your name down on the Connect card. And the parade starts at 10. People will arrive around 9:30 to begin to volunteer. So please consider that as a way to love on our community. And right now I'm going to invite Ken Marble to come up and share about an upcoming men's event.
Thank you, Janet. I'm here on behalf of Scott Henyon, who has organized a special event for the men of this church. Who here knows what the ripple effect of Braveheart manhood is? Me either. So, if you'd like to learn more about how the quality of lives as men impacts our spouse, our children, our grandchildren, our church, our business, our community, our nation for generations, then come to a workshop that's going to be held right here at Grace in Christ on Saturday, September 28th. It's going to be from 9 to noon, and afterwards there's a free barbecue lunch for all the participants. Our speakers are two Aussies. One is Dr. Alan Meyer, a pastor from Melbourne, and who has spoken to this church several times in the past, and Andrew Jobling, who is a former Australian rules football player. Australian rules football is a blend of rugby, soccer, and a little bit of American football. Very exciting. Dr. Myers is co-founder of CareForce Life Keys, a Christian program that's focused on restoration and discipleship that has had a significant impact on people around the world, including people right here in Yakima. Andrew Jobling is a sought-after speaker on with particular insights on the importance of physical health and well-being. He's the author of seven books. These two men are going to speak on life-changing insights in three sessions. In session one, they're going to discuss how your life can be energized by meaning and purpose and paralyzed by the lack of it. How does a man discover the core meaning of his life? Session two will be about man's relationships and consequently his life, and how men's relationships and consequently his life is ruled by his man box. What is a man box? I've heard of man caves, but I don't know what a man box is. But knowing the answer to this question will change your life. Finally, in session three, we're going to learn about how to develop mindsets that lead to actions and habits that create optimal physical longevity and well-being so we can fulfill the purpose for our existence. I hope you can attend this workshop on Saturday the 28th. Sign up on this form. You can put it in the offering plate. Also, Jeff Steer's out in the Connection Center taking registration. So hope you can join us on the Saturday the 28th.
Thank you, Ken. And we just ask right now, Father, that you be moving in the hearts and souls of the men of our congregation, that you put a desire upon them to grow and to learn and to fellowship together. In your name we pray, amen. So we're going to invite the ushers forward now. And as they come forward, please join me in prayer for our offering. So, Lord, I was really struck by a song that we sang this morning. And the line was that you, Father, are madly in love with us. And, Father, can we just rest for a minute in the idea that there is never a moment in time that you love us any more than you do right now. And we just receive that love, Father, and we ask that it change us. We ask that it change us to be people who love our families, our neighbors, our church, our community, and our world. And we thank you, Lord, for the example of generosity that you have put before us as you gave your Son, as you gave the Holy Spirit. May we be people, Lord, who in pursuing after you become generous in our own lives, generous with anyone and everyone that we encounter. And we thank you that you've positioned us to be generous people. We have so much in this world, Lord. May we be free to let it go and to share it with others. And now, Lord, there's not a more perfect time than when we're all together to join in the Lord's Prayer. So if you would join me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Angel. Yeah, let's stand. Let's sing the doxology together.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son,
from the beginning with John's prelude to this closing song. What an awesome morning of worship. Amen?
Amen.
All right, don't go anywhere. Sit down. You see, I'm all set for a picnic. I wore my jeans, got my tennis shoes on. I'm ready to go down on the lawn down below. But I was told I have to give us all a bunch of instructions. So pay attention or you're going to get lost and you're going to end up at another church's barbecue that's going on just two blocks over. All right? So pay attention. First, when you go downstairs, when you go out to the yard, the Lindas, Matthew and Sorensen, will have a bingo sheet for you. You will have to go around and find individual people to sign on the spots here. For instance, you need to find somebody who does not have a pet. Somebody who has long hair. Somebody who plays guitar. You have to find that person and fill out. It's a great way just to interact, to get to know each other while you're smelling the tacos going and the hot dogs and all that. So you'll do that while, you know, going on down there. And there's a prize, I guess. There are a couple of prizes for winners, so they're pretty good, is what I understand. And then, bless you, then while we're down there, we have some entertainment. We have Derek Smith on banjo. We're going to have Tom Oliva doing a magic show. I hear he's going to disappear. Just saying. We got the worship band is going to be down there. There's going to be a raffle going on throughout the morning. Lots of great prizes that you'll want to hang out for. They save the best for last, just so you hang around. We got the bounce houses going on for the kids. You can, if you haven't bought a voucher, the voucher is $2. You can buy them still downstairs, by the gates. And it gives you a $4 meal, or you just take your $4 and go buy whatever you want. If you want more food, or Whiny Dogs is here, and they're just giving a plain hot dog with condiments, but if you want a special dog, you can pay extra for that, and they'll tell you how much to pay for that. Street tacos, Whiny Dogs, Healthy Eats will be here also. Great day for a soup. So they're going to provide soup for us. Parents, pick up your kids on the second floor. Be sure you do that. Don't go down there without them. This is not free child care in a party, all right? If you need help getting downstairs, apparently on the south door, the golf cart will be there, and they'll drive you down to where you need to get there. Go down however you want to. Take the elevator, go out the stairs, go around the front, get there, and then I'm supposed to pray for the meal. So we're going to do that. Any questions? I hope I did okay. Let's stand, and I'll pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for this glorious morning. Lord, thank you for who you are to us, but who we are to you, that you do indeed love us more today than yesterday, probably. And, you know, we won't understand the fullness of your love until we're with you in eternity. But thank you, Lord, for the love that sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, that we then might have peace with you and with one another. So I thank you for the celebration that continues, for the food, that you would bless the food and the fellowship to our souls and our bodies, Lord, and that we would continue to go from here and to continue to worship you and to praise you and give you glory in our thoughts, our words, our actions, Lord. For to you we give all the praise and glory and honor in the name of Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Go in peace. Stay here in peace. Go be good. Yeah, I don't know how. Go.
And all the people said amen. Whoa, and
all the people said amen. Hi, David.
Give thanks to the Lord, for his love never ends. And all the people said amen.